The power of fasting. The power of fasting. And we're going to see, hear from God's word some very, very powerful principles about what fasting does, what God's word says about fasting. It's going to encourage some of us, I think, to get involved in fasting, perhaps on more of a regular basis, also even beyond this. Last week, we talked about how there are certain principles we can actually follow that actually will help us to engage the enemy and be victorious over him in every area of our life. There's sometimes long battles we go through. There's keys that God wants to release to us and give to us that causes breakthroughs to happen. You guys might have been to prophetic meetings sometimes where a prophet especially comes forth and starts getting words of knowledge and starts telling people sometimes in the crowd or audience that I sense that this is the reason you're not getting this healing or getting this breakthrough or the devil's doing this about your job. And all of a sudden the person starts breaking down and crying and all of a sudden it confirms something to them that's been actually hindering them from getting a breakthrough from God. And I'm not saying again that we shouldn't receive those words from God because we should. God uses prophets for that. But I'm also saying God will speak to you even before the prophet or prophetess comes to a local church meeting if you're just being a person who's getting tuned in to hearing what God's voice and God's spirit is saying to you. And so don't always wait for the man of God, woman of God to prophesy over you and give you the key about why you're not having a certain breakthrough take place in your life. God's going to release that to many people by the scriptures, by dreams sometimes, by the still small voice, by other brothers in the body of Christ, sisters in the body of Christ may speak something to you. So be aware of that. And what fasting does, fasting helps us to be aligned even more so, to be hearing God's voice, knowing what God wants to do in us for certain breakthroughs for our lives. And we'll see some principles here from God's word in the Old Testament, New Testament also about this. So looking here in your notes, Daniel chapter 10, I've typed out most verses tonight besides one big longer passage in the book of Daniel chapter 1. So you can find Daniel 1 sometime tonight as well. And kind of keep your finger there, put a marker in Daniel chapter 1. But Daniel chapter 10, it says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 full weeks, 21 days. I ate no pleasant food. I ate no meat, drank no wine. It came into my mouth. Nor did I anoint myself at all. He didn't wash himself, didn't take a bath or a shower at all. For 3 whole weeks, Daniel did this, what's called today a Daniel fast. And so we told you guys last week that many times in this local church and places across the world as well, people might declare what's called a Daniel fast, especially in January, the first part of the year, and they might get themselves involved in eating no meat, no red meat especially. They eat no sugar. Almost all the whites kind of go out, all the sugar, starch, and all the carbohydrates. And they totally go on a fast for sometimes juice or vegetables, sometimes fruit perhaps, sometimes even Ezekiel bread. But again, try to avoid popcorn because popcorn, even though it's a vegetable, is a pleasant food. Amen. And it says here, no pleasant food came into my mouth. And so every year, you might think about this right now in the month of August, what is God calling you perhaps to be doing as far as a fast is concerned? And we'll see tonight again some clarity here about what fasting is and what fasting is not and what fasting actually does for us and for God's kingdom working through us in a great way. Now the book of Acts chapter 13 verses 2 and 3, the early church here, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and they fasted, then the Holy Spirit said and spoke to them and said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and having prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. This shows here that prayer and fasting were a normal part of the early church that Jesus Christ trained the disciples for in his 3.5 years on the earth. So the disciples of Christ, they prayed, they fasted on a regular basis. And so also we should take the same pattern, I believe, also for ourselves. Now also this was a very, very powerful scripture here because this fasting and prayer these guys did, they were actually sent out to become the first missionaries on the earth. Because of this prayer right here, of their fasting and their prayer, we now know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior right here in Pflugerville, Texas. This prayer, this fasting sent them out to the nations and from there began to spread the gospel all over the face of the entire earth. Now, of course, the gospel has still not been quite preached to every single ethnos people group yet, but the Bible says when that does happen, then the end will come. Not when the Antichrist comes, not when the mark of the beast happens, not when Israel gets attacked by Gog and Magog. It says whenever every ethnos group has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, then the end will come. Amen. So that's happening very quickly right now. People groups around the entire world are being reached with the gospel in a very, very fast realm of acceleration as time is going by here. So let's read now also Acts chapter 14, reading in verse 23. And it says, so when they had appointed elders to every church, they prayed with fasting, and they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So again, the New Testament church practiced fasting on a regular basis. Now, we ourselves, again, must take the New Testament church as our pattern for what is normal church Christian life in this day and this hour as well. Amen? So tonight, again, if you have your notes in your hand, there is some blank spots. Those that are newer here, again, kind of read along, try to get something to write with. Write these things down. I encourage you guys also to get a little notebook at some point and try to keep these notes perhaps in a three-ring binder notebook. And you can take and go back on some of these teachings sometimes. God may even use you in Cambodia one day to teach things like this to folks that need that overseas or maybe right there in East Austin or whatever else. So I'm saying the notes you get a hold of, be prepared for God to use you to minister some things like this yourself to people in this city and beyond our city as well. Amen. God actually opens doors for prepared people. So I'm saying be prepared for works of service. That's part of the Ephesians 4, 5 full ministries job here is preparing you guys for your works of service on the earth. That's kind of a side thing. Since I'm saying that God's going to open some doors up to some of you guys to start doing some teaching to some unbelievers or believers who need teachings like this. So get the things organized, put them in a binder, and God sees your preparation, then God honors that because it's a faith move, and then God starts opening doors to you down the road. You start doing things, preparing for what's not here today, but will be here tomorrow. Amen? Understand that. It's kind of a side note. Somebody needs to hear that because it's for you, okay? So also know this. The Bible does not impose fasting on us as a requirement. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, I command you to fast. You won't see that anywhere in the entire Bible. Fasting also does not, the word fasting does not appear anywhere in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. You won't find the word fasting one time, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It doesn't exist there. And so there was, the Bible says, a day of atonement in the Old Testament where God told the Israelites to afflict their souls, and they fasted on the day of at-one-ment or atonement back in the Old Testament times. Now, New Testament, the book of Acts 27, they refer to the day of atonement as the fast because fasting always happened on the day of atonement. And when God says, afflict your souls, some religious people think that means get a whip and whip yourself on the back till blood flows. It does not mean that at all. What it means there is the word afflict means humble yourself. Now, in Dallas, they say humble, but I say humble. I use that H in there, okay? So I'm from Kansas, so I say humble yourself, okay? And whatever it may be, the main thing is to afflict yourself means to humble yourself. And again, the best illustration I've ever seen in my life of what humility really is a picture of those Himalayan donkeys up there in the Nepal mountains. These guys have the shape of a cross on their backs. And those little donkeys carry huge loads on their back up these big 14, 15,000-foot mountain peaks. And when they get to their master, they will kneel down as low as they can get to the ground to allow the master to put any load on their back he wants to put on their back. That's what humility is all about. I'm going to become less that he may become more in my life. And so I'll lower myself that Christ may put a load on my back, a burden on me, for whatever it may be, for a burden for me to be ministering to. And by doing that, that's afflicting ourselves, that's humbling ourselves. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty governmental hand of God, and he will then lift you up in due time. Amen. So also the whole preparation word also goes right along with that. Get under the governmental hand of God. He will give you open doors for ministry more so as you do that for the Lord. So at one minute, atonement was a day of fasting. It existed in the Old Testament and New Testament church also both times. So Jesus also did not impose fasting on us either. Nowhere in the Bible does Jesus Christ come out right out and say, I command you to fast. You must fast, saith the Lord. So since the Bible does not require us to fast, the question tonight is, why should I fast? Because the truth is, fasting is not fun. Amen? I'm going to even say to you a very controversial thing. Praying at first is not fun. praying is hard work. The Bible says when Jesus Christ prayed before the cross, taken on the cross, it says he was in such anguish, great drops of blood poured out of his own life. He was in total anguish doing that. I found that prayer, fasting, is laborious. It's work. It takes energy. It saps energy. It's not a fun thing for your flesh to go through. But I found in prayer that finally, as time goes by, you're going to find yourself enjoying prayer, wanting to pray, and actually looking forward to your prayer time. Now, why is that? You're going to start seeing God answering prayers. You're going to start hearing God's voice during prayer. You're going to start sensing God's presence more and more during your prayer time. You're going to find yourself looking forward to your prayer time, but it won't normally start like that. It first of all becomes a discipline inside your life before delight comes in as far as prayer is concerned. So there are actually, though, the answer here is, why should I fast? Because there are actually benefits to fasting. We're going to see it tonight in God's Word. Let's look now in your notes at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16 through 18. It says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces." The Moffat translation says, "They look woe begone." They disfigure their faces. They look all sad, depressed, and all woe is me with their faces. "That they may appear to men to be fasting." They want to make sure all men see their fasting. "Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward already. But it says, but you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face," take a bath and a shower is what he's saying here, "so that you do not appear to men even to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will now reward you openly in due time." Now, the mystery about this whole verse here is that he'll reward you openly. It may be in this life. It may be in the life to come. It may be both. But the main thing is God knows how to reward people in a good way. Amen? So God says, "I'm going to reward you openly for things you do in secret." And fasting should not be seen by folks around you. Now, there's no sin about telling folks, "I'm on a fast right now. I can't eat at your house, or I can't eat this, that, and the other." There's no sin involved in that. But he's saying in the general public, don't go around like the Pharisees did, trying to make sure you look all depressed and have greasy hair, haven't taken a bath for 2 weeks and so forth, to try to show folks, "I am fasting." We don't need that, amen? So moving along, this is a direct promise from God about rewards. Why did Jesus begin this passage now in Matthew 6:16 with the word "moreover"? Because he first of all talked about when you pray, he says, now do this. Now he's saying, furthermore, when you fast, go ahead and fast like this. So what Christ is saying here is, he's not commanding us to fast. He's just saying, I'm going to take it for granted here that I am the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're going to pray and you're going to fast as my disciple. I'm going to just take that for granted is what Christ is saying. I'm not going to command you to do that. I'm going to make you do that. I'm going to say, furthermore, when you fast, by the way, do this. And he gives instructions again about fasting beyond that. So Christ is just taking it for granted. We're going to pray. We're going to fast as a normal Christian part of our lives. And realize again, there are seasons of our life where we want to press in to God and ask for God's presence to come back on us afresh and anew. Fasting is primarily about pressing into God and saying, Father God, I might need refreshing in myself. I need to be hearing your voice, oh God, more clearly. I sense there's kind of a dryness in me. I sense there's kind of a religious, kind of emotion type thing happening in me. I need a breakthrough in my life. I'm fasting because I want to press in to your presence, your character, your voice, your nature, formed in my life more and more. So tonight, we're going to give you now the rewards of fasting. What are those rewards? There's three main things about this. So first of all, I want to say what fasting is not. What fasting is not. What reward does not come to you by fasting? Fasting does not get us into better standing with God. If you fast, that does not make God think more of you. Amen? Jesus Christ died on the cross. Your sins are forgiven. God loves you as much right now as he ever will in your life. You can't work hard enough to make God like you more, okay? So fasting will not give you better standing with God. That's been done already by the blood of Jesus Christ. Fasting also does not twist God's arm. You cannot make God answer your prayers by fasting. You can't say, okay, God, here's my condition now. I want a big breakthrough here. I'm going to fast. Now you do your part. That's not how God works. God works by obedience, by humility, by calling upon his name. However God wants to work, that's how God works. But you can't make God do anything, okay? So fasting does not twist God's arm. Also, fasting does not make God feel sorry for you. God looks down and says, oh my, look, God, they're giving up all their meat and their McDonald's and all their fish daddies and all that kind of, oh, I'm going to answer their prayer. I feel so sorry for them now. I'm just going to do, what do you want? I'm just going to give it to you. No, God doesn't work like by emotions. Amen. God is not an emotional type God that works by our emotions. You can't make him feel sorry for you by your fasting. Also, fasting doesn't finally convince God that we're serious now. He's going to now give us what we want because now we're really serious. We're going to show God, I'm serious, God. I'm serious now. You get serious, God. You do your part now because I'm serious. You're serious. Let's go. Let's move. God doesn't work like that. And also, fasting is not paying for your sins. You cannot see your sins forgiven and cleansed and washed away by your fasting. Amen. If you make God unhappy, you sin on purpose, whatever else, do not start fasting to get God's favor back. That's called works and it's called religion. God, again, forgives. God loves. Fasting is not for the purposes of these things in your life. So what does fasting do? Remember, we are triune beings. So fasting does things for our body, for our soul, and for our spirits. Number one now, fasting rewards us by strengthening our bodies. Fasting strengthens your body. So in your notes, this blank spot here is there. Verse 1, it says, it is the best discipline. Where discipline goes there. It's the best discipline that you can develop physically is to be fasting. Fasting will help you help your body be told by your soul and by your spirit, you will not control me any longer. Fasting puts your body to death in many ways and shows your body who's boss, okay? So it's great discipline for us. Our body is called the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the temptation is to put too much emphasis on our body or not enough emphasis on our body. Both extremes are not good as far as God's concerned, amen? To put too much on our body, as far as it's going totally crazy about health foods and about herbs and about weightlifting, things like that, there's got to be a balance on how much our body receives attention of every single day. It's probably out of balance to give your body about 6 hours a day of attention by getting involved in extreme things for your body every single day. Some folks even go to extremes by taking 2 to 3 hours a day for their hair and their makeup. I call that an extreme. They may pray for 5 minutes, but give their body 3 to 4 hours of makeup treatment. I'm just kind of exaggerating here, perhaps. None of you guys here are like that. None of you guys are living in Hollywood or whatever else, so I'm not talking about you guys at all. But I'm saying some folks would do that, amen? And they're not all females either, amen? They're not all females. The other extreme is let your body just kind of totally go to pot. Eat what you want, sleep about 3 hours a night, eat about 5 meals a day. These things are all extremes. Get no exercise at all. These are also the extreme there, letting our bodies go. The Bible says our body is called the temple of the Holy Spirit, and fasting is good for your body. Amen? Jesus Christ would not do anything that was bad for his body. Your notes next of all says, fasting helps us get our appetite, the word appetite goes there, under control. The word appetite. Fasting helps us get our appetites under control. You know, there's sometimes food wants to master our body. The Bible even says in one verse that their God is their stomachs. And so if you have an unnatural craving for certain things that you just got to have every single day, that might be a little bit of a bondage in your life. You know, I myself, I always bring back what I call full-flavored, good, rich, strong tea from foreign countries. I always stock up with tea from Kenya, China, South Africa, other nations, Costa Rica, so forth, so on. And I usually used to take and drink hot tea every morning when I'd read my Bible for like those 30 minutes. I'd read the Bible. I'd be having some hot tea next to me drinking that. Well, on my fast this year in January, I cut out all caffeine like normal for that whole 21 days. And the first time in my life, I began getting headaches when I actually quit drinking that high caffeine hot tea every morning. So I quit that, not just for that January, but I have not drunk any hot tea any morning since that time I broke that fast back in the end part of January this year. Now, it's not a sin to do that. I'm just saying that I think God have to help me bring some more balance in my life. So now I drink hot tea maybe once or twice a week, perhaps, but not every single morning, one or two cups there first thing when I wake up. And so fasting helps to take and break some unnatural appetites that may be trying to control us some way in our lives. It may be chocolate. It might be Mooney's hamburgers. It might be Jack in the Box. Somebody say, whatever it may be there, it'll help break those appetites off your life. Amen. And those can be those Round Rock donuts are addictive. Amen. So you might need to get those things broken off your life somehow, some way. Next of all, fasting gives our body a rest and allows purging. The word purging goes there to happen. Our bodies need to be purged once in a while. You know, again, I was talking to a South African named Eben Combrick in northern South Africa about 5 years ago. He said, do you realize that you have got fatty deposits put around your liver and your organs that get more and more accumulative as the years go by? But when you fast for 10 days, 21 days on like a fruit fat juice fast or a water fast, all those nodules of fat break down and are expelled out of your body. And I did that fast myself about 5 years ago, and I was surprised to see how these things of nodules were leaving me. And I never had that same experience take place again since then, but I saw that over all the years of our lives, we're gathering sometimes some things that are not good for our arteries and for our kidneys, our liver, and organs, that fasting actually breaks those things down and will purge those out of you if you'll do a fast like that about one time a year. Also, fasting one day out of the week gives your body a divine sabbatical rest from actually digesting food for that day, that week. It actually will bless your body to do that, to not be digesting food one day out of the week. Just drink water or juice, something maybe one day a week. You'll be amazed how much help that brings to your body as well. So let's turn our Bibles now to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. Daniel 1, starting in verse 8. And we're going to read the New King James Version, more about fasting here, because it talks about the fast that Daniel goes on. Daniel 1, verse 8, right after Ezekiel. And it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord, the king, who has anointed your food and drink. For why should he see your face looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would also endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said back to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Their names are also called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. One pastor calls them your shack, my shack, and a bungalow. But they're called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. And in verse 12 says, please test your servants for 10 days. Let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this manner, and he tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, after features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. And again, that word in the Hebrew language, fatter, that sounds like a bad word to us. It actually means fatter. It doesn't mean more anointed, doesn't mean more glory. It actually means fatter. But it was trying to show us there again, they weren't losing weight and becoming gaunt and looking like they were refugees from some other country. They were actually still gaining or having some good weight on them. So verse 16 says, thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. My biggest nightmare would be that. But God's grace is sufficient. Amen. That's why I want vegetable and fruit fast so far. God's given me grace for that vegetable and fruit thing, because only about three, four, maybe five vegetables I really like a lot. Okay, so give me, pray for me about that. All right, so moving on here again. This passage shows us that what we eat actually will affect our physical bodies. Okay, so we do need to receive our vegetables and our fruits and all of the balanced diet there of proteins and so forth. If we need those things, God made us to receive those with thanksgiving because it will affect our health and longevity on the earth. How many folks know that in your sick bed, you can't do a whole lot of ministry for Jesus Christ? If your body's healthy, vibrant, strong, with sleep, exercise, and the right diet, you're going to find yourself ministering for Jesus Christ clear into your 90s like Uncle Jerry. Amen. I want to be like Uncle Jerry is, who eats right, exercises, brain works, mind works good, still bearing fruit in his old age. And so I want to be like this. Amen. I don't want to be hooked up to some tube somewhere when I'm 70 years old and live like that for a long time with God's help and grace. Okay. So number two now, fasting also strengthens my soul. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Inner man talks about your soul. And your soul, of course, also is what's called a triune being. Your soul has a mind, will, and emotions. All three of those work in the soulish realm. Your mind, your will, and your emotions all happen in the realm of the soul. So fasting also strengthens your mind, your will, and your emotions. Daniel chapter 1, verse 19, it says, then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. And in all the matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians, astrologers who were in all his realm. Notice also the Bible says that this is how God also works to verify his own ways and his own character in this story here that's true. He says in the Bible that everything be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. God uses four men here doing the same thing to show the same results by not just Daniel, one man, but actually four men had the same results Daniel's got as well. So God is showing us this will help any Christian believer who does what I say to do as far as fasting, eating habits, and so forth goes. It'll bless all of them in noticeable ways what God is saying to us. So your note says our mind is strengthened partially because of the mental addiction to food. Our mind is strengthened partially because of the mental addiction to food. The word addiction goes there. So with me again, if I'm on a God-called fast, the Holy Spirit has so far every time given me an ability and a grace to no longer crave those kinds of food for those 21 days. That's how I know that God's in a three-day fast I go on or a 21-day fast, 10-day fast. I actually stop losing cravings for all kinds of foods except for just juice and water. And I find total sufficiency just doing that every day, drinking some juice, drinking some water. There's always grace for us. That's why this year when I got headaches for the first time, when I got rid of caffeine out of my life, I realized there was something there that God wanted to break off of me as far as something might have been a bondage in my life. Okay, so for me, there's always a grace. And also I found that at the end of my fast, the grace lifts every single time when the fast is time to end it. The hunger comes back, hunger pains come back, my stomach starts gurgling, my head starts getting more and more weak, and I start losing grace to not be eating food in my life. You know, one kind of strange thing about 10 years ago, I was in a conference in Phoenix, Arizona for about 2 days for some reason. I can't remember why I was even there, but I was in some conference for 2 days. And I was in a nice hotel, four-star hotel, paid for by some ministry somehow, some way. And they had, of course, free dinners, free lunches, free breakfasts, free lunch the next day. So when I went to the dinner and breakfast the first days, I was fasting on the very last days of my 10-day fast. So I just had water only. Well, folks around me ate their scrumptious food. I had no problem with that. The grace was on me to do that. But then the last meal was a day to break my fast. And by God's own intervention, I began to crave hot rolls and butter, real butter on hot rolls. I began to crave that. When I sat down to eat the lunch that day, right in front of my face was hot rolls fresh out of the oven and fresh, brand new, or whatever, cream butter, as far as I'm concerned, it was brand new. Probably was Land O'Lakes, 10 years old, but I'm saying it looked to me as brand new. And I took that butter and put that on that biscuit, let it lather all of that thing up, melt down that roll, and I bit into that thing, and I broke my fast with great joy and revival in my life, in my heart. Amen. The grace was gone, and I was craving hot rolls and real butter, and God gave me that. at the end of the fast. So moving on here, the first thing about your soul is your emotions. Your emotions. So fasting is not about the going without food. It's about pressing in to God. And so God brings our emotions under control more so even by fasting. Sometimes your emotions bring on to you depression, brings on to you anxiety, brings on to you pride and arrogance. There's things that place an emotional state that God may want to start tempering, molding, and shaping in godly ways, and God will do that, and God will strengthen that, your emotions, by fasting in your life. James chapter 4, verse 7, notice what it says here. Therefore, it says again, first of all, submit yourselves to God. Then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and then he will then draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. So again, fasting is all about humbling ourselves in the sight of God that he may lift us up in due time. Amen. So again, it's a self-inflicted thing. You do yourself as an act of your own will, and then God will honor that, and God will bless that with his presence, his grace, and some breakthroughs that God wants to bring to your life. So moving on, Ezra the prophet, chapter 8, verse 21. It says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God. We might afflict ourselves before our God, to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all of our possessions. Then verse 23, so we fasted and we entreated our God for this, and he then answered our prayers. Now, this again is not these guys trying to twist God's arm and make God work. I believe this prophet named Ezra was actually led by the Holy Spirit's power to go on this fast that God gave the instructions, go on a fast, and through that fast of obedience, then God honored their obedience, not just their fasting, but their obedience, and God brought the answers to them, and God saw them through safely on their journey that day. Next of all, fasting causes us to purposely become weak. The word weak goes there, so that God can be strong in our lives. The Bible says, when you're weak, I am strong. And so you make yourself weak on purpose, and then God says, when you're weak now, I will now become strong in your situation and in your behalf, says the Lord. The next thing about your soul is the thing called the will, your will. Have you ever said, I need more willpower? Dieting will not increase your willpower. It actually takes willpower to diet. Amen? So you can't diet and get willpower from dieting. You actually need willpower to diet. Fasting, though, will increase the power of your will as it brings a supernatural cleansing and presence inside of you that will cause your will to be more and more submitted to God's will and God's hand, not to your own. There was a man one time that joined a Weight Watchers type group, trying to lose about 100 pounds, whatever else. And so they gave him these little boxes of crackers, cookies, foods that were pre-packaged and so forth. They'd weigh the guy every week. He goes in after the first couple of weeks goes by, and he says, listen, I'm having a real hard time because I'm craving sweets. I have a real weakness for sweets. I need some sweets, so I'm craving them. What do I do? The instructor says, well, get yourself a little box of chips and just take, when you crave sweets real bad, open the box up and take one chip out and eat it. He said, if I could do that, I wouldn't be here. This guy had no willpower. He could not eat just one, amen? And so God is saying fasting, though, gives you more of a stronger willpower to not let your flesh and your soul control you, your emotions, your mind. It lets the Holy Spirit start controlling you more and more. It gives God that ability and power in you by fasting. That takes place. Number three, fasting also strengthens your spirit, my spirit. The spirit is where you communicate with God, almost like face-to-face in the spiritual type realm. After Jesus fasted 40 days, the Bible says he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. And again, we need more power in our lives. We can't make God give us more power by fasting. But fasting does bring forth to us some things where sometimes the devil comes at the end of the fast and bring some real strong temptations to us, and the very things that would cause us not to receive what God wants for us, Satan will come there in our weakest points sometimes. If we can see his head get cut off by the word of God coming out of our mouth, then the power of the Spirit then comes on us, and we see ourselves defeating him again and again and again in greater measure and greater power. I think what happened there was Christ's temptation was his fasting actually brought the strong man right in front of his face at the very end, weakest time, so Christ could deal with him a death blow at the very end of his fast and have 3.5 years of open heavens ministry. The Bible says every single person that Christ laid hands on was healed. Every demon was cast out. Miracles took place. Every prayer that Christ prayed was answered because he was working under an open heavens. He bound the strong man at the beginning of his ministry, and he ministered for 3.5 years in the power of the Spirit, but he still prayed every day to God and said, Father God, what do you want me to do today? I want to obey you every day. I want to hear your voice and do what you say. So also God opened his ears up to hear what God said in his life. Moving on again. Why would Daniel do a 21-day fast? The answer is this. What got Daniel promoted as second in command over Babylon? What did that? His interpretation of a dream for the king or the head of Babylon. Amen? This guy had a dream. He told all the guys, the magicians and astrologers and so forth, I want you guys to tell me what the dream is, interpret the dream. And of course, they could not do that. Daniel prayed to God. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego prayed to God. God answered the prayer. God shows Daniel the dream, interpretation for the dream, and from that exaltation comes to him. This is all in the realm of the Spirit. Now the question tonight for you and I is, does God still speak through dreams today? Do you believe he does? Well, the answer, of course, is yes. And why is that? Because Jesus Christ, God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God spoke in dreams back then, God speaks in dreams even today. Amen? And then the next thing here, I want you to think about this, is what is the first meal of the day called? Break fast. Your time between dinner at 6 o'clock and then breakfast at 7 o'clock in the morning, for me at 6 o'clock in the morning, is the longest span of time you go through every day of not eating anything in your life. Unless you're Dagwood and got out of bed at midnight every night, even a big old giant sandwich like this, okay? You don't eat a whole lot between 6 o'clock and 6 in the morning. Most of you guys don't every day. You go through what's called a break fast. Now, notice how God speaks in dreams when you're actually on your back asleep and you're at rest. That's when God speaks many times the strongest. You know, Cheryl, she's more prophetic than I am in many ways, and she gets dreams that sometimes God gives her warnings. God shows her people, situations. About 2 years ago, somebody in this church here, I won't name her name not to embarrass them, not here tonight anyway, but their daughter was actually getting involved in a relationship that Cheryl saw, had a dream about the person that she was actually dating, and saw her face, saw his face, didn't know the man who he was at all, had never met the man before in her life, but saw his face very, very vividly. And God began showing her things about that young man that was very, very ungodly, unrighteous, and it was going to be a total trap for her ministry and her life for the future. And she must hopefully cut this thing off. And so she told the young girl the dream, told the father the dream, and they took it to heart. They prayed about this thing. By the grace of God, the very thing Cheryl dreamed about that young man came to light only about 2 or 3 weeks beyond the dream, and she cut the relationship totally off, dumped the guy, praise God, and has, I believe, a better person this day in her life. What I'm saying to you all that is God sometimes warns us, shows us things, reveals things to us in dreams. God also interprets those dreams, but what was Cheryl doing when God gave that revelation to her? What was she doing? Laying on her back asleep. You see, we think now we got to work things up, call revival, have a big, long 3-hour prayer meeting, and then by doing all these things and works, God then must show up and break loose and show us things. Sometimes on your back asleep, totally paralyzed and out to the world, God speaks the strongest in your life to show us, not by works, But by faith, says the Lord, shall you receive things from my hand that are breakthroughs for your life. Amen. Now, God may call you to three-hour prayer meetings. God may call you to do all kind of jumping, shouting, dancing, and so forth. But I'm saying don't rely upon those things you do to bring answers from God alone. Fasting is a powerful tool, and the break fast is a part of that answer of your dream life as well. So moving along here, fasting also helps you tune in to words. The word words goes there. Words and pictures that are here right now in this room tonight, but you can't perceive it. That's why on Sunday mornings, you're going to hear me sometimes say, does anybody in this congregation during praise and worship time, did God give you a word, a vision, a picture, a scripture for somebody in this congregation? The book of Job again says, God speaks in many ways. Does man perceive it? And so there's pictures right now in this room that God wants to release to people in this congregation, but we got to start perceiving what those pictures are by visions, by hearing God's voice, by scripture. Sometimes God will give us scriptures during worship, during praise, before service even, God may give us things. And so God is saying the words are there, pictures are there, but you got to get tuned in to that in the spiritual realm, and fasting helps you get tuned in to pictures and words that God wants to release among us. Let's read here now, finally, Isaiah chapter 58, starting in verse 3. This is typed out in your notes because it's not the New King James Version. It is what's called the New Living, translation. And it says here, we have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We have done much penance. You don't even notice it. I'll tell you why. It's because you're living for yourselves even while you're fasting. You keep right on oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep right on acting worldly? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me, says the Lord. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your head like a blade of grass in the wind. You dress in sackcloth and cover yourselves in ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No. The kind of fasting I want calls you to free those who are wrongfully imprisoned, to stop oppressing those who work for you. Treat them fairly. Give them what they earn. I want you to share your food with the hungry and to welcome poor wanderers into your homes. Give clothes to those who need them. Do not hide from relatives that need your help. That's a big one out there. If you do these things, your salvation will come like the dawn. Yes, your healing will come quickly. Your godliness will move you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then when you call, the Lord will also answer. Yes, I am here. He will quickly reply. So God is saying when you fast, the primary word for fasting is motives. Why are you fasting? Is it to try to become better than somebody else, more anointed, glow in the dark more, say Shondai better, have goosebumps? Those are all selfish motives that God won't honor. But your fasting is taken, I want to feed the poor better. I want to receive more help to help out the oppressed, the prisoners. I want to love my scoundrel relatives better and help them out sometime in their times of need. My brothers in the body of Christ, I want to help them out somehow, some way better. That's what God honors as a good motive fast every time. The reward of fasting is strength for your body, for your soul, and for your spirit. Because we're pressing into God, God will press into us. And God honors your obedience, not your fast, but your obedience to Him. And the fasting is simply a thing that says, when I'm weak, He will become strong in my life. As James comes to